room would just be full of servicemen, and we had some really great times there. Thank you so much.
I'd like to give one episode of what happened. I don't remember what year it was, 1944 or 43. Christmas came on Sunday, or Wednesday rather, of that particular year, and we had invited the fellows, if they'd like to come in for Christmas dinner, come in on Sunday, because of course Sunday would be a regular on Liberty Day. They could come in on Saturday, but particularly on Sunday when we would have this Christmas dinner. We purchased two 20-pound turkeys and a long pressed ham, about this long, in preparation for the dinner. And of course, Elmer Angerseth, whose name has been mentioned here already, and some of the others, prepared the turkey early in the morning, putting it in the oven so that it'd be ready by 11 o'clock. And the fellows began to coming about 11 o'clock. We set up three tables, one across the length of the dining room area, and then one in a sort of an L shape into the living room. We seated about 25 or 30 men around those three tables. After they got through eating, they would pick up the dishes and take them out into the kitchen, while some of the fellows, of course, would volunteer their efforts to clean up the dishes, get them all ready, and reset the tables. And then another crowd by that time, of course, had come. They sat around the table while they were served the second meal, all three tables. After they got through eating and the dishes were taken out into the kitchen and washed and dried and placed back on the table, here was the third crowd. We cleaned up all the turkeys. All both of those 20-pound turkeys were gone, except the skeleton, the bones. That 5-pound pressed ham was gone. So I hurried down to King Street and got another pressed ham, brought that back, and by the time I got back, that was ready to be served. We counted 82 fellas that had that Christmas dinner. 82, no less. 82 men ate on that Christmas, well, that Sunday, Christmas Day. One of the most unforgettable incidents, I think, that we ever had in that house. I'd like to just give just one testimony here. When we went to the Hawaiian Islands, it never dreamed on us that we'd ever have a ministry amongst the servicemen. Let me say right here, dear ones, that anything that was done out there, we were merely instruments. God gets the glory. I say that without any equivocation. It was to the glory of God. We simply had happened to be where God was at work. That puts it in plain candor. But the thing that I think impressed me more than anything else was the willingness of the men not only to partake at our table, but to contribute to the work. It never got over me how God could take care of things when we didn't know the next day what was coming. We thought we'd set aside one day of the week to get some rest. And so we said, well, if you don't have to come in, if you can't get liberty on Monday, we would appreciate it. We'd like to have Monday, because Sunday, of course, was usually an awful busy day. We didn't even go to church on Sunday because of so many activities and Bible memory work and fellows wanting to be counseled, and they wanted to get into the Word and so on. So we didn't go to church Sunday night. But anyway, sure enough, guys would come in from duty out at sea, and they come ashore on Monday. So it was a seven-day operation. The thing that impressed me was how God worked in the lives of these men. It certainly was his work, not ours. We were just there as instruments. And to God be the glory. Just one parting word. If you get into the Word, as you should, let it become the thought-controlling instrument. Our thinking processes can oftentimes deceive you. Let me quote from the New International Version, 1 Corinthians 10:3 through 6. For though we are in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we are ready to revenge any act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Bring your thought in line with the Word of God by meditating. One passage after another speaks about meditating. If you have problems going to sleep at night, some of you who get along in years and you find you wake up about 2 o'clock and you don't go to sleep again, start quoting Scripture. Get a hold of a chapter and memorize it and quote it. Before you know it, you'll be back to sleep again. The best thing I know how to bring your thought processes under control and in conformity with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, meditate upon the Word of God in the night watches, as David says. That's the best cure for letting your mind wander or Satan getting in some subtle suggestion. That's my word of encouragement. Keep at it. Hang in there.
I will be in trouble, I know. But you brought up something. You said we've had all these doctors. Well, while I was living at this man's... I beg your pardon? While I was living at this man's house, I got a little nosier than I should have. I mean, I was looking for something in his private desk. And I opened up a drawer. And I pulled out 4 or 5 folders. And the first one that I opened up said, Dr. Harold DeGroff. And I'll tell you, this was an earned degree. And master of this. And all 4 or 5 of them, he earned them. And so we have, in all reality, he never told anybody else. But he is Dr. Harold DeGroff, too. And I think that should be known.
Well, Harold and Belva were a part of 26,000 service people that are grateful for the ministry you had with us. And I do not think that we need any benediction beyond the words that Harold gave to us. So we're dismissed till in the morning.